What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
The show is back and the Shahive is a-buzzin'. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin on Afternoon Drive. That opened courtesy of News Channel 5 and our guy, Jake Murn, behind the glassy knoll on the board.
Yes,
we've got the milkman, Anthony Alant, on the 2020s, also doing a little producing for us today. And it is Shamonday, the day to talk about Shador Sanders' big Friday matchup. I don't know I can contain him any longer. JP, how you feeling?
It has been such a holdup. It's been almost 3 days of me chomping slash champing at the bit to be able to talk to you guys and have fun with the Shah celebration.
I will tell you, I tuned into you, calling into Earl and Spencito.
We were very hungover.
I love that you admitted that, by the way.
We were very hungover.
And I love that you admitted how hungover you were, but it did not tamp down your excitement. And the only thing that I will say, because obviously today is going to be a fair amount about how Shador did and what this week means for him or maybe doesn't mean for him.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was kind of the perfect game, preseason game for Browns fans because the starting quarterback, Shador, had a very nice game, but Carson Schwechinger had a nice game. Don't ask PFF. Mason Graham had some good moments as well.
26 out of 30 defenders.
I thought even Luke Florio, who's since been waived with his hamstring injury, which irritated me to no end. Even Luke Florio had that incredible one-handed catch on the Shadot from Shador Sanders. It was fun. A lot of the kids played on Friday, and it kind of got me hyped up about the future of this team, even if the present is what it might be.
Yeah, I mean, Schwechinger was everywhere, absolutely everywhere. But like the focus is obviously on Shador.
I knew we couldn't.
We think we're gonna come out of the gate and be like, hey, let's talk about Mason Graham.
216-474-0090
Browns defenders.
What do you guys think about the German linebacker today? Yeah. I want to hear all your takes.
This is the most corruption I think I've ever heard in my life. Hijacking the Shador Sanders.
Hey, no.
You know I've waited 72 hours for this.
We're going to get to Shador in a moment.
I've waited, and we're having the
Luke
next 5
Florio,
hours.
Is he guaranteed a spot on the practice squad?
If I wasn't so hammered, I would have came in on Saturday morning and just tried to get in on that show and just talk about it as long as I could. It was a absolutely fantastic day. Now, there is a part of me, though. Miss Cleo, if she tells somebody, hey, you're going to end up married in 6 months. When they get married 6 months later, she doesn't turn around and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I got that right. I can't believe how, good call by me. So like, there is a part of me that has to make sure that I remain temped down in this whole ordeal. As I was sitting there watching on Friday night, and I thought to myself, it's what I've been telling everyone for 9 months. We've been screaming it for 9 months that this kid could play this way and he could ball out the way that he's balling out. So at some point, you just can't act surprised.
All right, so I do think you have to be very clear about what the victory lap today and this week might be about, because I think it's easy to rebut. There were a couple moments in that first half of play from Shador, and I think there was just enough juice that if the Browns were not pot committed to giving this kid a fair chance, they could say a few things. Well, but the two runs where he turned into Barry Sanders and it was almost a nightmare. Well, I'm trying to think of the throw that was a little over. It wasn't the Deontay Johnson drop. There was like a bad throw in the mix of that. There was just enough.
I'm going to let you try to find that one because I had my bookmarked Twitter highlights of just all the really good throws that he had.
Oh, you only bookmarked the good ones.
I bookmarked my top six is what I ended up bookmarking and made I categorized 1 through 6 and then just went from there.
But here's the thing. Like, I think the number one thing that I think Friday did prove is the Browns have been telling everyone and their mother he's a project. That did not look like a project to me. And specifically, if you want to get to where like projects don't do what Shador did in the red zone, mm-hmm. where his two best throws of the night were the first touchdown to Caden Davis and then the throw over the middle where he feels the pressure off the left side, steps up into the pocket to avoid it, and delivers a Shador.
Which, by the way, for how many months did I tell people in the red zone he was top six in touchdowns and completion percentage throughout the 2 years he was there in Colorado?
At least this is 8 months.
This is where he's supposed to shine. In many respects, he's supposed to shine in that category, and he did. Again, he did.
Well, but I think that is where, like, we asked, like, on Friday, it was like, Shador's not a guy who's going to deliver consistent, you know, off script 60-yard throws down the field. He's not Mahomes, right? He had to do some of that at Colorado. That's not what the Browns want him to do either. They want him to play within the scheme, and they want him to be consistent and be comfortable out of playing under center, and they want him just to be efficient. And the first part of the game, it really wasn't on him. I mean, I mentioned the Deontay Johnson drop, mm-hmm. and a fair amount of the things where the offense just wasn't clicking really wasn't on Shador, and I thought within what they asked him to do, man, I think he was really efficient. And again, the number one thing this does is the Browns spent 3 months telling everyone he's not NFL ready. I don't know how you don't look at what he did on Friday and go, I'd like to see more. I'd like to see how much more or less NFL ready he truly is.
Well, and they responded accordingly, I do believe. He got 14 throws today. More throws than any other quarterback for practice today. So, like, they're starting to respond. But you're right. He looked 100% comfortable. He looked 100% pro ready. I don't know how, after watching that game, you can sit there and say to yourself, across the NFL, all those GMs, yeah, we made the right call in letting him go to the fifth round. Like, if anything, he's got a lot of career left to go, and he's got to still prove. One preseason game doesn't really prove anything. But what it does prove is that he's not a fifth round draft pick, and the NFL and a lot of these NFL owners and GMs that let him go all the way to the fifth round, they need to be wearing it today, and they should have been wearing it all weekend long for letting that happen.
Now, there is a segment of people that I do not understand after Friday, because I'm willing to meet you somewhere in between. Shador played really well, and it was preseason game number one. I'm willing to be live within those waters in trying to not go over the top with the hype, which I think you've heard a fair amount of people not doing. I mean, the hype machine is in full swing for Shador, for people who claim to be where I am, Switzerland, this whole time. That being said, if you didn't have fun on Friday, if you didn't wake up, it wasn't just Shador. It was a lot of the young kids playing and playing well. If that didn't get you a little amped up or a little bit of a buy-in on Shador or any of these young players, I really don't know what you want in life. Like that, if all Friday was a harmless, fun exercise where the Browns put up 3 touchdowns on 3 of Shador's drives, and he made a couple big clutch throws, if that's all it is, and you still are like, fifth rounder, preseason game, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm cool with people needing more, and the Browns needing more. I understand.
Yeah.
But if your response to Shador on Friday is to not have like 10% more of like for the kid, I don't know what we're doing here.
I can't tell you either. I mean, he looked like a pro. There's no other way to describe it. And I think a lot of people were waiting for him to just look antsy. I watched a lot of quarterbacks over this weekend. I thought a couple looked good in many respects. I thought Jackson Dart looked much better than I thought he would. I thought Cam Ward looked good as well.
Does that devalue how well Shador did?
No, not in the slightest bit, but there's a factor of being able to tell when you see it and when you don't see it. Do they look comfortable? Do they look like they know what they're doing? Are they bothered in any sort of moment? And Shador was just just checking off all these boxes left and right. Like, there was no part of him. And dealing with a second-string offensive line and as many starters as you could possibly have out, it didn't seem like he was panicking in any sort of way. It seemed like he'd been playing in an offense that, like he did in Colorado, that didn't have a lot for him to do, and he just finds a way to get the job done.
And I think the pushback is, because people want to lump in all the rookies and how well they played together, see it means nothing, except Tyler Shuck has gotten, I believe, every single one in New Orleans. I believe Cam Ward has gotten all the ones because Will Levis, who was going to be his primary competition, is hurt. So Shador hasn't, and Shador has been throwing to equipment team managers, and I think that, to me, is where the excitement is. It's like,
yeah,
that's what that kid did without properly getting the kind of just the kind of buildup that you need to play in that moment. So, yes, the competition does get tougher from here. Philadelphia is going to be a huge, huge bit of competition, these joint practices, and on Friday, because they're this weekend, because they're incredibly deep. Yep, same point. He can be better with more first-team, second-team reps.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning. You know, you just got to check off boxes. That's all Shador's been trying to express to anyone, is that he just wanted a chance and an opportunity. He got it. He showcased what he could do. And now against Philadelphia, he's got to do a little bit more. Now, I do wonder how many reps he's going to get in the preseason game, and I do wonder how it's going to move in the second and third game as well, because I do think what helped him a lot was that he had the comfortability of knowing if he made a mistake like happened on the first drive, first series, he was going to have opportunities to clean that up and get it right, and he was able to.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys today. Did Shador win you over? I will proclaim myself as still being Switzerland. But I'm intrigued.
You were smiling, though. Come on now.
No.
You were smiling on Friday.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I think that's like, you can enjoy Friday for what it was. He played a lot better than I think we should have expected. And yet, to what you said just before I tossed out the number there, there is still a sizable gap for him to bridge, more so than Dylan Gabriel, who I noticed now that he's healthy, conveniently steps right into the 11-on-11s and got the first touch and the first swing at 11-on-11s, and then Shador came in after that.
Yeah, no, this is just Mark 1. I mean, this is, for everyone that wants us to come in here and do some sort of massive celebration and really, like, dive into what this could be.
Are you referring to yourself in the third person here?
No, it's a me and you thing. Well, one, I knew you wouldn't go along with it if I tried to do it, so it just is what it is.
I feel like we've gotten a lot by the goalie in this segment.
It was going to be a one-man band, if best. And I don't know that that one-man band would have sounded that great.
I don't think that's that fair. I feel like I've letting you get pretty much everything by the goalie in your little
by
victory lap here.
What's by the goalie?
I mean, I just feel like you've went as hard as you can for a preseason game, and I haven't objected a little bit because it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I know why my voice is getting so high.
The amount of excitement that I was thinking about displaying prior to, like, I don't know, it taking us 3 days to be able to talk about this on the radio, I think would have drove you absolutely insane, though.
216-474-0092. Did Shador win you over on Friday? Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst, will be joining us at 3:20. We're going to get his thoughts on how Shador looked, the procedural stuff, all the good parts, the nasty business. Daryl Ryder going to be joining us at 6 as well. How far did Shador Sanders' big day go for him in the quarterback kerfuffle? But as we get started, at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Did Shador win you over, and the aftermath of the celebration in 5 minutes on 92.3 The
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Fan. We are, one of us is taking Shavictory laps here and the enjoyment.
I'm definitely enjoying it. I don't know if I'm taking a Shavictory lap or not.
Oh, all right. Do we have to call to your side of the show, Jake Murren, who can fill us in on whether that was a Shavictory lap or not?
You'll know it when it's a Shavictory lap. I don't know if
Didn't you literally say
felt like a Shavictory lap?
Didn't you literally say this is what I've been telling you for 9 months?
It popped up in some capacity. Yeah, some capacity.
So that's not a victory lap.
I felt so happy for Shador Sanders. You know, I also felt happy for on Friday
yourself?
Night. Myself for one, yeah. Well, but again, this is the Miss Cleo thing. This is no part of me was sitting there surprised. I think a lot of Cleveland was like gobsmacked that this was happening. And I was over here like, yeah, I've seen this. I've seen him make these throws. I've seen him do this. I've seen him operate this way. Like, no part of me was shocked in the slightest bit. I can either confirm how just nonplussed I was that he was able to pull this off. We would not have had that argument for an hour we did in the 4 o'clock hour on Friday about his entrance music if we had thought anything differently than he was going to go out there and be able to do just that. So, but Mel Kiper Jr. is the guy that I felt really good for. Really happy in that.
That's good. He hasn't had enough good things in his life.
I kept thinking about Mel.
Had that beautiful dome into his 70s. Has not had enough.
Well, I mean, is the beautiful dome, is that enough? Is that enough really for Mel? I don't know. For some people, I guess it is.
For you and me, it is, considering we've never had it.
We've never had it, so I don't feel like I miss it, because I've never had it.
I had a sick mullet at 14 at Woodridge High School. It just has since left.
If I had great hair my entire life, maybe I'd be like, that's sweet to have it in the 70s. But because I've never had great hair, I've just conditioned myself to be like, that's not something people care about when they're 70.
Is it even real?
Everyone's bald. It happens. Mel just got hair plugs earlier than anyone else. It's okay. But I felt good for Mel. I felt great for Shador Sanders. And I felt awesome for all the people that had watched and had been there with Shador the entire way, being like, yeah, he can do this, guys. Fifth round, not even close.
To me, it was just fun. It was just fun, and I thought when it mattered, he was good. So, quite frankly, like the two times that he turned into Barry Sanders, and it looked like he was on, because by the way, that matters to the Browns. Those two running plays where he started to go one way, saw the pressure, and then did the oopsie-daisy all around the field end around, I guarantee you the Browns didn't love that. But in fairness, when they happened, they weren't in the red zone. So like I just looked at it and I was like, okay, cool. Like for me, what it validated was this whole time I've been yelling, why isn't Shador getting the same chance Dylan Gabriel's getting? Mm-hmm. And why isn't Shador getting the same chance Kenny Pickett's getting? I feel validated on that, even though I still think it's, again, like my whole point as Switzerland was, let's not be too precious because you gave up a fifth rounder for Kenny Pickett. When at the same point, all you gave up for Shador was a fifth rounder
Shea Switzerland is a generous spot for you to be in, considering that Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett, we were living in the same boat of that. Well, I think might as well be called the Titanic. Mm-hmm. That thing's going straight down.
Or the Lusitania.
Whichever one you want. Is that a favorite boat capsizing incident?
No, it's just a way to one up people when they go to the very basic Titanic. I'm like, oh, you mean the Lusitania? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What boat snobbery going on here? Okay. But the point.
Aquatic snobbery.
The point remains is that, because I think sometimes when people hear you say you say Switzerland, it's almost like, geez, you can't get on board with Shador in the slightest bit. It's like, no, you not being on the offside of Shador is really the win there to begin with, because you're already off when it comes to Pickett and Gabriel.
Yeah, and I don't know why Kenny Pickett's still getting chances, by the way, right now.
Well, so that's part of what this did for me.
Like, Kenny Pickett getting 7-on-7s today, I know, like, he's still alive, so, I mean, I think the moment has passed. If he's not going to be able to play this weekend, I don't even know why he's getting critical reps at this point in the quarterback battle.
Makes no sense to me. It should be Joe Flacco, it should be Shador Sanders, and then Dylan Gabriel should be getting the scraps. Like, this is not, the order shouldn't be too particularly hard, it's just how much Kevin Stefanski continues to love either or Dylan Gabriel or Kenny Pickett.
And listen, I think another thing, I think by how well Shador played, I think we can even read further in to, like, what were they seeing behind the scenes that led them to maybe slow his role more than anybody else.
Well, I mean,
that's where, like, Kevin's never going to give you the answer, but that is something I would like an answer from Kevin, because this kid rolled out of bed and looked better than Dylan Gabriel did in any of the opportunities I saw Dylan in actual practice.
Well, so the Mary Kay piece from over the weekend that Joe Thomas had highlighted on Twitter, that idea was that he looked dynamite. That was the word they used, dynamite, when it was the ball was snapped and everything else happened. It was all right before that, which actually is not too far away from what they'd been telling us. It's just when you watch him play the game, you just tend to believe a lot of that was just Fugazi. Now, what I did like about that report and what I thought was awesome was it highlighted something we weren't aware of, which is how much time Kevin Stefanski had been spending on other fields, just sitting in back of Shador Sanders and watching him as he goes through some of the pre-snap stuff and being like, hey, that was good, that was bad. Like, that did show a little bit of favoritism, or at least an acknowledgement from Stefanski that Shador Sanders exists, which is not something we'd heard of previously.
What does Shador's preseason performance mean for the quarterback kerfuffle? So to me, listen, this is equal parts. Shador's been there, he's been available, and he has stepped up when he's needed, stepped up, even when the conditions weren't favorable around him. I don't know why I would waste another second with Kenny Pickett. And oh, by the way, whatever revisionist history narrative has been like, he looked really good in those four practices. Really, because I distinctly remember hearing how bad the offense looked in the first four practices and how Kenny was part of how bad they looked.
I mean, when we speak to Darryl later today, I bet he tells you that this was Kenny Pickett's best day.
Well, no, today I'll buy.
It seemed like this was the best day the offense had.
He only ran in 7-on-7. So if I have to cheapen Shador's 7-on-7 experience 2 weeks ago.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing. But I think it was a perfect 5-for-5 today. And so I bet the rhetoric from Daryl today will be that he looked the best that he did.
Eric in Cam's Corner, did Shador win you over on Friday?
Nick, yes. He won me over. You know, and I'm excited about the possibilities, man. You know, I know Jonathan has been, very supportive of Shador. And, I mean, he's made a phenomenal case, you know, since the draft. And, you know, people have been picking apart, dissecting different parts of Shador. And I just want to just comment real quick, guys. I think he's a good human being off the field. I mean, I was 22. I got a speeding ticket, so that happens. But just being a community person and being humble, I love that about his game. And on the field, it just, Nick, and when we've been looking for this for so long, man, just competent quarterback play, you know, and in those red zone drives, his feet wasn't skittish. You know, he was decisive. The throws was where the receiver could get it. And that's what excited me. And so I just want to continue to see the growth, man, and I hope Joe is willing to, you know, pass down some knowledge and wisdom to these young guys so we can see what they can do. But I would love to see Kenny Pickett, but at the same time, I don't really care at this point, because I think QB2 is been revealed.
All right, Eric, we appreciate you, buddy. I think that's a huge jump, and this is just where I want to I really want to caution a lot of fans who are super excited about this. Is I want you to be excited about Shador, and I do think you're going to see him this year. And I think on Friday alone, it probably locked in the idea that you're going to see him at some point this year. They still really like Dylan Gabriel, and it's not a coincidence that Dylan, coming off injury, got that first crack on 11-11s. It doesn't mean they're not going to split time more. It doesn't mean that Shador didn't open up eyes. But Shador's going from, before injury, your greatest hope was you're throwing to fourth stringers in Chad in accounting. You're trying to go from that to being the backup. That is a bigger gap than I think people realize. Because again,
you just got to chip away at it.
Well, and I think Kevin still really does like Dylan Gabriel. And the chances Dylan was getting in the preseason before the injury were much bigger chances. He was getting the chance to fail. Shador was very much being protected in a little bubble. Now, I think your great hope now is now they give him those opportunities where if you don't look the best,
right.
Okay. And well, that's kind of what you're going for.
All you need is some opportunities. I don't think it's an accident that Jerry Jeudy spoke the way he did about Shador Sanders today, talking about what a promising future he has and how great he looked. I don't think it was an accident that the cameras picked up during that game, Myles Garrett and Shador Sanders talking. It seemed like, obviously, the one clip went very viral, but it felt like for a whole quarter, Myles Garrett was just sat up right next to Shador Sanders, and they were going over different things, and it was almost like a vote of confidence from Myles Garrett in a way of like, I love what I'm seeing, now I'm going to attach myself to you. That type of stuff resonates, and it starts going all throughout the locker room. These type of players, Jerry Jeudy, Myles Garrett, start speaking the way that they're speaking.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is one bad performance, Myles is going to flip-flop on you anyways.
Well, Myles flip-flops in general. Yeah. This is how he is.
He should host a morning show in Cleveland. That's how much he flip-flops.
I love Myles, but then there's nobody that rides the hot hand more than Myles Garrett. There's no other real way to look at it.
Maybe he finally saw a quarterback.
But he saw the hot hand. He saw what Shador
was.
Take
him from Cleveland to Canton.
There's like seven different tweets that I had written and then deleted because they all just attributed to the idea. Of course, Myles would be right next to Shador for about a whole quarter of that game based off of the front-running job that Myles does. But I'll take it when I can get it.
Big Sherm in Chagrin. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I can't believe Jonathan's given you a pass of being Switzerland. Come on.
Aren't I just a really nice guy here, Big Sherm?
Wait. Listen, I have afforded Sherm. I have afforded him to be the ultimate Shahive member and supporter and very little pushback.
There's been a lot of pushback, Big Sherm, you know that.
Show the work. Show where did I push back other than the Pharaoh's sword or whatever it was on Friday.
Okay.
And that's because you were completely full of crap. Not in the slightest. Any other quarterback did that. We're going to restart the same damn fight we had on Friday. Any other quarterback did that and you'd hate it.
You started that game. You got to act like a starter in that situation. He did, and that's why it was proven to be true. Big Sherm, you are right in many ways, though. I'd like everyone to acknowledge what a calm, nice demeanor I have in not dunking on everyone that said mean things to me throughout this entire stretch. So thank you, Big Sherm, for opening that up for me.
I'll give you that. And I just want to say the elephant in the room is,
easy.
We talked about this before, is AB, our general manager, made the fifth round pick. And Kansas, as I like to call him now, Kevin Stefanski, because that's the initials of the state, I'm going to call him Kansas, because he flies off in the house like Dorothy, fall in love with Michael J. Fox. I call Dylan. He's like 5'7", whatever this guy is. Crazy. He's not going to be a starting quarterback. He won't admit it. So the elephant in the room is the GM made one pick, and it's brighter than Kevin's, and I don't want it. Shador hasn't had any time in practice with the ones, in scrimmages with the ones, and yet look what he did with the scrubs and remaining calm and cool. Give him, he's our future, right? I mean, I don't want him to maybe start the first six like you said, but he's a number two. Give him the starts and the practice with the ones, and let's see what he can do. Why is this guy so in love with Dylan Gabriel?
Big Sherm, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. The way you handled that was very unbecoming. Everyone else has given you more. I can't say the shh in front of it, but that, then I have, how many times have I actually pushed back on Shador?
Do we need to replay the whole first 4 months of the draft? Okay. Since the draft,
yeah,
you did much
better. He's still not worth the number two pick in the draft.
I think since the draft, you did much better. Leading up to the draft, I think it was a lot. It was a lot of back and forth, a lot of the days. Then after the draft,
you were a fixed position.
Once he became a Brown, I did feel more sense of, okay, I can let it fly. And I will also note, in many ways, you tamp me down by about like maybe 30%, which is probably the right that I needed to be tamped down. If we're being truthful about it all, because there were many days I would have just gone way off if not for Nick reining me in. So like,
yeah, because you were tethered the last 3 months.
Very much so in many ways.
You definitely were flying into every direction there as a Supporter, as they're known.
Listen, the community doesn't appreciate the amount of shuzz we put in front of this for the first two segments. But yeah, no, I just hope people like Big Sherm continue to call in that way, because I have, even in the 2 days since, still taking flack online from people suggesting that basically Friday was meaningless, and I'm a big chotch to begin with anyway.
Now, here's what I would like to see. I want to see Shador start this week against the Eagles. Assuming that Joe Flacco, the potential week one starter, the most likely number one starter, isn't going to see the field, I'd like Shador to go in and then Dylan. And I don't want to do the every other reps thing. I don't want to do like you take a quarter, I take a quarter, or you take a series, I take a series. I think Shador with Friday earned the right to play first. And I don't give a rip what happens in the little joint practices here. I think even the most sensible Browns fans can get behind that as well.
Yeah, let him get in rhythm, and then let's go from there. But I'm with you 100%. I want to see Shador in this game. I want to see Dylan Gabriel in this game. Wouldn't actually surprise me if even Joe Flacco went out for the first series, though.
216-474-0092. What does Shador's preseason performance mean for the QB kerfuffle? We will have plenty of time to break down the Shawars, as we're now going to be calling them, but quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Also see just kind of his take on the rookies as well. This week is Philly week. I will say this one you can grade a little bit more on a curve because Philly might be the fourth or fifth best roster in football.
Oh, we get to grade it on a curve. I like this. Now, are we grading the joint practices on a curve or are we grading the actual preseason game?
Probably should do both, yeah.
Okay, I'm fine with it either way. It's a tougher opponent. There's no way to deny that.
Let's get to quick hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world, to the sound bites you need to hear, hurry. It's Quick Hits.
Little bum today, JP. Luke Floria hurt his hamstring in the Browns preseason win over the Panthers on Friday, which makes this next part even crazier because Luke tried to come back into the game with a hamstring issue. But he's been waived with an injury designation, 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks' time to get this healed up. The Browns do reportedly want to bring him back. Anybody else a little bummed about our boy Luke Floria?
Yeah, a little bummed.
That's a fun catch.
It was a fun catch. It's the type of guy that, again, our guy, Coach Riz, has been just, I mean, clamoring about. In the very early portion, when he was the only one talking about him, I was like, wait, I get it. He's a local guy. You're trying to help him out here just by spotlighting him as much as you are? He's like, no, he's awesome. Just wait, you'll see. And yeah, he turned out he was really, really good. And so it is a bummer. I guess really we're just hoping for practice squad now moving forward. And then
I would imagine it's really hard. This is the point where you kind of make or break the 53 man.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to miss 2 to 3 weeks.
Between him and Gage, like a lot of people were saying practice squad the entire time, but they have an opportunity. It's not as if if you're taking 6 wide receivers, they might only end up taking 5, but it's not like it's not wide open.
Well, I was a little surprised they cut him. I know it's a little uncommon to carry guys for 2 to 3 weeks, but I just look at this and I'm like, no offense to David Bell, I've seen enough. I was so hopeful out of Purdue, but like, you've got 3 legit wide receivers. It's Judy, it's Johnson, and it's Cedric Tillman. The next 4, 5, and 6 better be some iteration of Thrash, Gage, and Luke Floria. Like, this is the first time in a long time with the Browns I've watched undrafted free agent receivers and thought they actually had something to them. I haven't even thought this much about the guys they've drafted, quite honestly, in recent years.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the Orlovsky breakdown of that play, though, and the amount of... It's funny, in the morning show, they had a guy call in and be like, Shador's only looking in one direction. It's like, first off, what are you watching? But the amount of different places that Shador went to then be able to find Luke in that play was incredible. But he's got an ability to find open guys. That's what I love about him and Stefanski so much, because Stefanski gets these guys open. And I bet we would have seen this combination often if he would have been able to stay healthy. Omaha! All right, I thought one of the more remarkable preseason plays, might be one of the more remarkable football plays I've ever seen, happened over the weekend. Jacksonville, a 70-yard field goal, courtesy of Jacksonville's TV network and the NFL network. Here we go.
This kid can really drill the ball.
Holy smokes. They got a shot.
He just kicked a 70-yard field goal. Are you kidding me?
Crazy.
I've never seen that. The NFL record.
Cam Little. I love the reaction out of it, but that was also my reaction as I was watching the game. I'm like, wait, he's going for it? 70 yarders? Are you kidding me? So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was a little bummed that it was somebody who's already entrenched, because maybe I'm already over Dustin Hopkins, but I've been watching way too much of like, well, okay, is this a backup kicker? What has he got going on? No, it was an incredible kick. I actually kind of feel bad for the kid that it wasn't in the regular season.
Well, so he asked after the game, like, he thought he hit it. He thought the mark didn't matter preseason or regular season. He thought he then had the new record. The record, 66 yards by Justin Tucker. We've had 8 different people attempt 70 yards in an NFL game. Obviously, we're 0-for-8 on that front, but this doesn't count. Preseason doesn't count.
Are we getting to a point where, like, all right, quarterback, the training for quarterbacks now is like, compared to where it was when we were growing up, is night and day? Then really, just in general, the resources out there for young athletes to get better quicker, I kind of feel like we're on like the peak of Kicker Mountain.
Well, so the legs, I mean, everyone hitting a 50-yarder is no longer impressive. It's the standard. And it used to, just a decade ago, it used to be really like, whoa, he got 52 yards on that? So I don't know. Do we have to shrink the goalpost to make it tougher? Because they're still missing it at an incredible rate. It's not as if they're like more accurate than they were 15 years ago. They just hit it farther.
Let me know. I'll actually let you know.
It's like the Bryson DeChambeau effect.
When the Browns get a good kicker again, I'll be on board with this. But until then, let's keep it how it is. And then when we get our version of Justin Tucker minus the off the field issues,
I mean, because in theory, though,
then I will be all on board for shrinking the goalpost.
In theory, a 70-yard field goal shouldn't be enticing to just about anybody, because it means you basically did nothing to get actual yards on the drive.
Yeah, but think about how well Cam Little would play in Cleveland.
It's a great name.
Yeah, well, no, I was thinking just because if you can hit a 70-yarder, Browns might score 21 points a game.
The dream.
Think about the bad Browns offenses. Cam Little would bail your ass out this year.
Omaha!
Travis Bezzana is moving on up. He's been promoted to AAA Columbus. He was hitting .281 with an .824 OPS at Akron since returning from injury in July. Is there still a chance we see Travis in Cleveland this season?
I don't think so. He has played pretty good as of late, though. I don't think it's happening this year. I would bet it's next year, and it probably is like probably at the deadline of next year as well, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I don't know. I could kind of see if they're the best of both worlds is he finishes with Columbus. I can't tell you if they're in the playoffs or not. And then you just give him like 2 weeks just to be around. Yeah, maybe you don't even play the kid. You just bring him up on the roster and just let him acclimate to the big league environment while you're going down the stretch. Because I think if you're in the wild card spot, the best thing you can do is have young players just practicing with you and just understanding like this is what you're striving to be a part of.
I mean, I'd love to see it. This organization has just never been in a rush with any of these guys. And so I would bet they go into next year, and I would bet it'd be around the deadline. But if it doesn't and they surprise me, then that's awesome. I'd love to see Bezzana up here.
I feel like Travis was going to be the guy that bucked that trend. I think they were primed to be very aggressive with him.
If he didn't get injured, then I think you're 100% right. If he didn't get injured, there's a world out there where he's up and he's playing, and that's the reality. Because every time we ask Antonetti about that, he was like, well, if he keeps playing, he's going to have his spot up here, as if they were preparing him to be up here. It's just the injury set him back.
Can I tell everybody he's also going to be your left fielder in the future? Sorry to be that guy.
Well, that's interesting.
I have heard enough that in terms of trying to play second base, he's going to be a touch slow for that. I think he's going to be your left fielder. He's not a center fielder. Maybe I don't know. I don't know about right field. I think he could be the guy that takes over for Kwan, which might have been why they were so inclined to listen to offers to him at this deadline.
That is how you swallow a Stephen Kwan trade, though, in many ways. It's like, all right, we traded Kwan, but here's Bezzana. So it's the classic yay boo, the reverse of the boo yay.
Omaha!
All right, Paul Feinbaum says he will leave the country if the Big Ten wins another national championship this year. Here's Feinbaum.
It is. And by the way, if it's not, I'm leaving the country because I am so sick and tired of being harassed by Big Ten fans on our show. The Big Ten has literally done nothing. They won two national championships. Michigan won one 2 years ago. They won 1.5 national championships, I think, before that in 70 years, and they act like they invented football. I believe Texas is going to win. It's going to end all this, and on January 20th, I'll be the happiest man in America because I won't have to listen to the Big Teners, or as my callers call them, the Little Teners.
Courtesy of ESPN. He loves that line.
Paul's so funny.
That's such a lame line at the end, but he loves it.
If Paul was a Big Ten troll, we would love him. But because he's an SEC troll.
It's a commitment to the bit you have to appreciate.
This is such a strong stance. It almost makes me want to root for Penn State to win a national championship, which...
I can't do it.
The funniest part about that would be is it would lock James Franklin into Happy Valley for the next 20 years and then he'd never win another one.
I think he's there anyway. He's tried to parlay that into something else. Nobody wants him.
Actually, you're right. Maybe that'd be the worst thing for Penn State because maybe an NFL team would come a-calling. No, this is a good bit by Paul. That's good, because even as a Big Ten fan, I'm listening. I'm like, come on, Paul.
Also, nobody's holding him to actually leaving the country, right? It'd be a joke in Big Ten world, but he doesn't care about us anyway.
I will say.
That'd be really funny if he did like three shows from like Costa Rica or something and was like, hey, this is what I'm doing.
Feinbaum in Francais. Huh?
Omaha!
LeBron went viral earlier this summer when he went golfing for the first time, allegedly. A few months later, he has an update.
Addicted. I'm sorry. I know. Yep, that's it. Rain and everything. Come on.
Why did you bleep the come on cotton? I think he was saying that to Cyan Cotton, right?
I didn't know what he said, so I just...
Oh, that's fair.
Did you think it was racist?
No, I just did not know what he said, so I played it safe.
How far will LeBron's golfing addiction go?
As far as everyone's golfing addiction goes, there's no end in sight.
Yeah,
golfing is addictive. That's what makes it so fun, but it's addictive.
So here's the problem. MJ took up the sport, I believe, when he was a much younger man.
Yeah, he did.
LeBron taking it up at 40... One, that's a midlife crisis move, it's okay. I'm about to be 40 anyways. But two, you've really capped your ceiling of what you're going to be able to do being a 41-year-old that's also 6'8" and 260 pounds. I think he's just, I think he's going to be the guy that like golfs for fun, which we like, unlike MJ, who's a bit of a psychopath with gambling. With
but LeBron's swing is trash right now.
I think it's always going to be trash.
I think he's got so much money and so many resources. I think it eventually he'll be all right.
Not it's at just, 41.
Yo, that's not really
He'll be
an
better
issue.
Than me, of course, because he has the resources, endless resources.
He's going to,
but
depends.
Amongst
how
former pros, people are going to take money from that man.
How addicted he gets will dictate how great he wants to be with this. And it's again, he's not going to play on the Champions Tour or anything, but he'll be all right, because all these guys end up, when they get serious about it, they're really good. Like, Steph Curry's amazing. I don't know if you ever watched Steph Curry play golf. Well, he's a plus handicap. He's really good.
That's the other problem, is that Steph has been golfing, I actually think, since when he was in high school in Charlotte.
Steph's been golfing forever.
But he's
talked about the lessons he takes and the resources he has and the access he has. Because think about it. And like Steph, I saw an interview with this with Steph, and he highlighted, he's basically like, any time I want a lesson from what is arguably a top five instructor in the world, I can have it at my fingertips, because these guys all just want to come and hang out with me.
Yeah, but the thing with that is, those guys have set a different bar. Like 30 years ago, you could be Charles Barkley and golf like a jackass, and oh, it's a funny bit. You can if you're LeBron. You don't have the personality that Barkley has, and the bar has changed from back when Sir Charles first started stinking up the links.
I'm shocked LeBron and his people put out his swing as often as they do. It looks like a broken lawn chair.
It's got to be humanizing.
I don't know why they keep doing it. Like, I like watching LeBron on the golf course, but it hurts my eyes watching him swing.
I think it's humanizing. He'd still kick my ass at golf. So
I mean, it's golf. You can't really judge people too hard, but like his swing is, it makes my eyes bleed.
Recent success be damned, ESPN is still dismissive of your Cleveland Guardians. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.